This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen. Facebook and Twitter came under a cyber attack this week, interrupting service to 45 million Twitter users alone. To some, it was merely annoying, to others, disconcerting. But there is a political backstory that goes way beyond Silicon Valley. Joining us now to help sort it out is Evgeny Morozov. He's a blogger for Foreign Policy. He's in the studio. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
The subject of the attack was one person, and I think you've referred to him as the first, is it the first digital refugee?
That's right.
Tell us about him.
Well, he's a blogger. He was actually from Abkhazia, from one of the breakaway republics of Georgia. And he was a real refugee because he had to flee Abkhazia in the first Georgian War in the early 90s. And since then, he has taken to blogging to express his nostalgia for the times that passed and to blog about Georgian politics. Last year, he emerged as one of the most trenchant critics of the war that was happening between Georgia in Russia, in South Ossetia, another breakaway region. And his blogging was rankling so many people, I guess, in Russia, or could be people close to the Kremlin, that his blog became a subject of very frequent cyber attacks, which basically made it impossible for his readers to access the blog and for him to blog and post any new posts. And he was doing it on first on one site, LiveJournal, which is a very popular blogging platform in Russia. Then he diversified as his LiveJournal blog became a frequent target of attacks and moved to Twitter, Facebook, Blogspot, and other platforms. And attacks followed him there. So as we have seen this week, on the anniversary of the Russian-Georgian War of last year, all of his accounts on different social media sites became targets. The attacks were so severe that the entire service was actually unavailable. So it's not only him, it's other, 44 million people who use Twitter who became hostages in this cyber attack.
Any indication that this was a part of that geopolitical battle, for example, that the hackers could have come from the Kremlin?
Well, it makes for a very plausible explanation. However, it's very hard right now to second guess because you never know who benefited most. This blogger himself suddenly became a celebrity. Georgia is also benefiting as a country because suddenly people are talking about this obscure war, which few people remember about these days. And it's very hard to see what exactly Kremlin itself and the Russian politicians would actually gain from it. Because what he was doing was punditry. It wasn't investigative reporting, and it wasn't breaking new stories that would somehow undermine the Kremlin's position on the war. So it's very hard to guess who would benefit most from it. What we know is that we don't know who was behind the attacks, and there is no way to trace it at this point.
The fact that this one man caused this ripple effect throughout two systems, Twitter and Facebook. What are the chances that Twitter and Facebook might say to this blogger, you can't use our site anymore because of all the attacks against you and we can't handle it?
I think right now, with him generating headlines all over the media, it's very unlikely that LiveJournal and Facebook will proceed to do that. But I think there are many other examples like him, which are much less visible. Many of them are not as political as he is. For example, you have all sorts of groups fighting for gay and lesbian rights, for example. You have all sorts of dissident groups from Burma, who are also frequent subjects of cyber attacks, and they're being forced off their online platform because they cause a lot of headache to their companies who host them, but they bring very little profit. So there is this very big problem how to preserve freedom of expression online in the future.
Evgeny Morozov writes the Net Effect blog for Foreign Policy. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.